OJB's podcast, 25 July 2017, 1K of RAM. One of my first computers had just 1K of RAM. That's enough to store, well, almost nothing. It could store 0.01% of a JPEG digital photo I now take on my digital SLR, or 0.02% of a short MP3 compressed music track. In other words, I would need 10,000 of these devices, in this case a Sinclair ZX80, to store one digital photo. I know the comparison above is somewhat open to criticism, in that I'm comparing RAM with storage, and that early computers could have their memory upgraded to a huge 16K in the case of the ZX80. But the point remains the same. Even the most basic computer today is massively superior to what we had in the early days of computers. It should be noted that despite these limitations, you could still do stuff with these early computers. For example, I wrote a fully functioning breakout game in machine code on the ZX80, admittedly with the memory expansion, and it was so fast I had to put a massive loop in the code to slow it down. That was despite the fact that the ZX80 had a single 8-bit processor running at 3.25 MHz, which is somewhat inferior to my current laptop, now a few years out of date, which has four 64-bit processors, or 8 threads, running at 2.5 GHz. The reason I'm discussing this point here is that I read an article recently titled "The Technology Struggles Every 90s Child Can Relate To." I wasn't exactly a child in the 90s, but I still struggled with this stuff. So here's a list of the struggles in the article. 1. Modems. Today, I know everything because in the middle of a discussion on any topic, I can search the internet for any information I need and have it within a few seconds. There are four components to this which weren't available in the 90s. First, I always have at least one device with me. It's usually my iPhone, but I often have an iPad or a laptop too. Second, I'm always connected to the internet no matter where I am, except for rare exceptions. Third, the internet is full of useful, and not useful, information on any topic you can imagine. And finally, Google makes finding the information easy, most of the time. None of that was available in the 90s. To find a piece of information, I would need to walk to the room where my desktop computer lived, boot it, launch a program, usually an early web browser, hope no one else was already using the phone line, wait for the connection to start, and laboriously look for what I needed, possibly using an early search engine, and allowing for the distinct possibility that it didn't exist. In reality, although that information retrieval was possible both then and now, it was so impractical and slow in the 90s that it might as well have not existed at all. 2. Photography. I bought a camera attachment for one of my early cell phones and thought how great it was going to be taking photos anywhere without the need to take an SLR or compact film camera with me. So how many photos did I take with that camera? Almost none, because it was so slow, the quality was so bad, and because it was an attachment to an existing phone, it tended to get detached and left behind. Today my iPhone has a really good camera built in. Sure, it's not as good as my DSLR, but it is good enough, especially for wide-angle shots where there is plenty of light. And because my iPhone is so compact and easy to take everywhere, despite its astonishing list of capabilities, I really do have it with me always. Now I take photos every day, and they are good enough to keep permanently. 3. Input devices. The original item here was mice, but I have extended it to mean all input devices. Mice haven't changed much superficially, but modern wireless mice with no moving parts are certainly a lot better than their predecessors. More importantly, alternative input devices are also available now, most notably touch interfaces and voice input. Before the iPhone, no one really knew how to build a good user interface on a phone, but after that, everything changed, and multi-touch interfaces are now ubiquitous, and, in general, with a few unfortunate exceptions, are very intuitive and easy to use. 4. Ringtones. This was an item in the article, but I don't think things have changed that much now, so I won't bother discussing this one. 5. Downloads. Back in the day, we used to have to wait hours or days for stuff to download from online services. Some of these less official services were extremely well used back then, and that seems to have reduced a bit now, although downloading music and movies are still popular and a lot faster now. The big change here is maybe the change from downloads to streaming. And the other difference might be that now material can be acquired legally for a reasonable price, rather than risking the dodgy and possibly virus-infected downloads of the past. 6. Clunky devices. In the 90s, I would have needed many large, heavy, expensive devices just to do what my iPhone does now. I would need a gaming console, a music player with about 100 CDs to play in it, a handheld movie player, if they even existed, a radio, a portable TV, an advanced calculator, a GPS unit, a compass, a barometer, an altimeter, a torch, a notepad, a book of maps, a small library of fiction and reference box, several newspapers, and a computer with functions such as email messaging, etc. Not only does one iPhone replace all of those functions, saving thousands of dollars in about a cubic meter of space, but it actually does things better than a lot of the dedicated devices. For example, I would rather use my iPhone as a GPS unit than a real GPS device. 7. Software. Software was a pain, but it is still often a pain today, so maybe this isn't such a big deal. At least it's now easy to update software. It often happens with no user intervention at all, and installing over the internet is a lot easier than from 25 floppy disks. Also, all software is installed in one place and doesn't involve running from disk or CD. In fact, optical media, CDs and DVDs, are practically obsolete now, which isn't a bad thing because they never were particularly suitable for data storage. 8. Multi-user, multiplayer. The article here talks about the problem of having multiple players on a PlayStation, but I think the whole issue of multiple player games and multi-user software in general is now taken for granted. I play against other people on my iPhone and iPad every day. There's no real extra effort involved at all, and playing against other people is just so much more rewarding, especially when smashing a friend in a friendly race in a game like Real Racing 3. So obviously things have improved greatly. Some people might be tempted to get nostalgic and ask if things are really that much better today. My current laptop has 16 million times as much memory, hundreds of thousands times as much CPU power, and 3,000 times as many pixels as my ZX80 did. But does it really do that much more? Hell yes.